who had the right to one great wish, what would it be?
It would be two wishes in one, the second dependent upon the first. I would wish that there could be peace on earth. I would wish that all who are separated this day because of the war could be reunited.
Christmas Reunion.
This is Robert St. John, and this is a program called Christmas Reunion, brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company. It's going to be a long program because we've got many places to go, all around the world, as a matter of fact, bringing us civilians to our men in arms, and our men in arms to us civilians. There'll be professional entertainment from Hollywood and New York. There'll be GI entertainment from Chungking in Miami, from Guadalcanal in Iceland. We wish we could make a wish come true. Doing the next best, we are grateful to be able to present NBC's Christmas Reunion. In London, England, just 100 years ago, a new story was heard for the first time. It was Charles Dickens' deathless work, A Christmas Carol. The crippled hero, Tiny Tim, cried, "God bless us, everyone." Well, God bless us, everyone, in this Christmas reunion with London, England.
Jesus Christ is born. Christmas Day. Down in the entrance lobby of this famous Red Cross Club in the heart of Piccadilly, there's a real Christmas Day atmosphere. Servicemen and women are drifting in and out. They're talking about how they've spent the day, how they intend to spend the evening. They've come in to ask questions and pass out information of their own. If you want a bit of real American here in London on this Christmas Day, it's the lobby information counter with Gwen Winningham of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, in charge.
Hi, kids. Merry Christmas.
Boy, what a day.
What's the matter? Been having fun?
I'll say turkey dinner and hell.
I'll bet you ate it about three tubs.
Boy, I'm stuffed. You got a good movie here tonight? I want to relax.
7:30 in Rainbow Hall. See you later, Joe. Have fun.
Gwen. Merry Christmas. Excuse me, are there any good shows on in town?
Sure, Sergeant, lots of them. They'll tell you all about them at the ticket counter in the next room. Say, I've seen you before.
I spent most of the day here at Rainbow Corner.
Bet you had fun. What's your name, Sergeant?
Clifford Bird.
Where from?
Well, my folks live in San Leandro, California, but my wife and little boy live near Seattle.
Hey, boy, how old is he?
Just 4 months. I've never seen him, but I've got lots of pictures of him.
They always have. I suppose he's a junior.
That's right. He's Clifford, too, but that was my wife's idea.
That's a pretty nice lot of decorations you got there, Clifford. Let's see, the DFC, the Purple Heart, and the Air Medal with three clusters. What do you fly?
I was a top turret gunner on a fort, but I've completed my missions and I'm instructing now.
Boy, from the look of those ribbons, you gave him plenty from the top turret position. Well, tell Ms. Longman to give you a good ticket for a good show, and Merry Christmas. Be seeing
you. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks a lot.
Hiya, Wack. Merry Christmas, and what can I do for you?
Oh, I just dropped in with some friends for the party down in the Rainbow Room.
Where are you from?
My home's in Holland, Massachusetts.
Hello. Near Worcester.
Another Yankee. I want you to meet Sally Elding, our program director. She's from Boston, and you two Yankees should know each other.
Hello. Merry Christmas. I'm Sally Elding.
And I'm T.S. Theodore Whitney.
How long have you been over?
About 3 months. But I've been in the wax for 7 months.
Are you having a good Christmas?
Well, it's not like being at home with my husband and daughter, but it's been very interesting.
What did you do?
Lots of hard work, but lots of Christmas festivity, too. But I think the thing I enjoyed the most was the Christmas party.
You mean the one we had here?
No, I couldn't get to that. But the wax gave a big party for English children at our Red Cross Club in Charles Street. We had saved our candy and gum rations for them, gave them toys and a delicious tea, and, oh, we had a wonderful time. I think we grown-ups enjoyed it as much as the children.
I'm sure you did. But you said something about having a daughter of your own.
Yes, I have. But she's grown up, too, now. Her name's Jane, and she's training as a nurse in the Springfield Hospital. She plans to be an army nurse when she's finished.
Good for her. I'm sure you're very proud of her. Well, I'm glad you brought your friends in for our party here tonight. I know you'll enjoy it. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mrs. Elton. The same to you. And to all our friends and neighbors in good old Massachusetts.
Merry Christmas, Gwen. Can I get a haircut?
Sure. The barbershop's open 24 hours. Well, if it isn't Chief Yeoman Wright, Merry Christmas, George. What do you want with a haircut on Christmas Day?
It's my first chance, Gwen. I've been working in Howe. As somebody said, there's a war on.
You're not kidding. How was your Christmas?
Pretty good. About 10 of us Navy men had Christmas dinner together this afternoon.
Were you dreaming of a white Christmas, the kind you had back in Denora, Pennsylvania?
I suppose sure would like that. My wife, Olive, and I always have our Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve. And I hope I can observe that custom together again next Christmas.
Well, anyway, England's more like home for Christmas than Sicily and Italy.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of miss the excitement of those days when we were invading Sicily.
Well, George, you can be darn proud of that Chief Yeoman rating, and I'll bet Olive is, too.
Well, I'm darn proud of the Navy, Gwen.
Tell the barbershop not to sniff all your hair off, and Merry Christmas to you, George, and to Olive.
That goes for me, too, Gwen. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Gwen, look what I got from Christmas from home.
A watch? Oh, boy, what a beauty. You're a lucky Joe. Take care of that now.
Merry Christmas, Gwen. Where can I check my wallet?
Right over there at the cashier's desk. And don't forget your receipt.
Hi, Gwen. Can I get my pants pressed?
Sure enough, soldier. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry
Christmas. And now back to Robert St. John in New York.
When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So it is written in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 9. So it happened nearly 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem.
and consequently we'll go ahead on a time basis. That means at 18...
And so it happened nearly 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Come in, Bethlehem.
Find an American boy and girl standing reverently in the grotto where the hallowed manger stood.
I'm an American soldier. I'm standing in a grotto under the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem. This is a great moment in my life, and I want to tell you as much as I can about it. A long time ago, this place was a stable in back of an inn. Right here in front of my eyes is the place where Jesus lay in the manger, where the wise men brought him gifts,
and where the shepherds came to tell of the angel that appeared before them.
It makes me think of the words to a familiar Christmas carol, one that you've been singing at home today, and one that I sang with you when I was home. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Well, I've come to Bethlehem, and I'm singing that same familiar carol here. But now those words mean more to me than they ever did before.
I'm an American Red Cross girl, and I'm standing here next to the American soldier. There are hundreds and hundreds of them here in Bethlehem this Christmas day, and if they could all express their feelings, they would all say just what this soldier has said. We all miss our homes and families, just as you at home miss us. And yet, we're having a real Christmas this year, a Christmas that none of us will ever forget as long as we live. One that will give greater meaning to all Christmases we're going to have at home with you in the future.
him return to the United States.
And now here is more GI entertainment direct from Fairbanks, Alaska.
This is Fairbanks, Alaska. The date is December 25th. The time is 9:17. And we're with a group of American soldiers, all non-coms. Here they are.
Sourdough, sourdough, sourdoughs are we. We've been in Alaska almost a century. Sourdough, sourdough, sourdoughs are we. From Simon Bolivar Buckner to the lowest PVT, mushing through the snow, freezing head and toe, we will never leave this land because we love it so. What are we saying?
Boy, this is the whitest Christmas I have ever seen.
What was that?
Thermometer just hit 50 below. Correction, 60 below.
Who do you suppose that is?
Maybe it's Santa Claus.
What do you mean, Santa Claus? You know he's down in the States, the lucky bum. Open up.
Let him in, Wally. You've had your feet on that stove since Thanksgiving.
Okay, I'm going.
Well, it's Frankie Dodd.
Oh, Frankie!
I told you guys to cut that out.
We thought you were Santa Claus.
No, I think he got grounded in Wapakoneta. I just stopped by to see Mrs. Claus, and she said he ought to be back in a couple of days.
It'll be good to have him back. He's a good neighbor.
Yeah, and he sure pays good dough for helping him make those toys.
But a guy can get awful sick of hearing sleigh bells all year.
How about that Dunder and Blitzen of his? Those reindeer can eat like horses.
Yeah, they get all the best food, and what do we get? Blubber.
What gets me is Santa's little gnomes running all over the place.
Those guys can work faster than CC pills.
Yeah, one little fella came up to me last November and says,
I can't understand how production in the States can be so high if they got guys like you back there. Must be the dangers doing all the work.
You know, they ought to draft those little guys.
You fellas don't realize how lucky we are to have Santa Claus as a neighbor. Here in Alaska, every day is Christmas.
The 4th of July is a nice holiday. How can you think of the 4th of July on a day like this?
Me? I'll take Christmas. Even if it does mean that Santa Claus goes to the States every year.
I'd sure like to go to the States myself.
Oh, wait a minute. What do you want to leave Alaska for? Beautiful mountains, wonderful northern lights, fine bracing air, woods full of bear and moose, and the gold mines, the ski runs, and the midnight sun?
And our Eskimo friends and the old sourdoughs.
And Santa Claus. That's right. You don't want to go home.
Well, maybe you're right. Gosh, but I hope Santa didn't forget to stop in Milwaukee.
Sure he stopped there. He always gets thirsty around Milwaukee.
I hope he didn't get too thirsty. He still had to hit Parkersburg, Chicago, and Atlantic City.
Thought you guys were talking about Alaska. You know, we are lucky to be here.
Yeah, we love it here.
Don't worry, folks. They all get that way up here.
Sourdough, sourdough, sourdoughs are we. We've been in Alaska almost a century. Sourdough, sourdough, sourdoughs are we. From Simon Bolivar Buckner to the lowest PVT, mushing through the snow, freezing head and toe, we will never leave this land because we love it so. A Merry Christmas!
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Tech Sergeant Frank Dodd of Parkersburg, West Virginia, Sergeant Walter Zawicki of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Corporal Robert Simon of Chicago. This is Bud Foster speaking and returning you to Robert St. John in New York.
Shore, remember? Ultraviolet rays, captured in ultra-sophisticated melody, signed up for service on this Christmas day. For a Christmas reunion with a sunburned Santa Claus, we follow the swallows to Miami, Florida.
From Miami, Florida, it's the 7th Naval District wishing you all good Christmas cheer from a traditional Christmas party on the Miami waterfront. Our young guests,
of the children and naval personnel from all over America who are awaiting the advent of old St. Dick himself, Robert Child. Their first tropical Christmas is a novel one, as Santa Claus is not coming from the North Pole by reindeer and sleigh, but from the South Pole by boat over a palm-fringed southern sea. And since this is a Navy party, I'll let Yeoman Bob Cole take over right now.
Well, it was a pretty gloomy prospect for Santa this wartime Yule, the sea given over to more vital cargoes and toys for children. But the Navy has today kept faith with the child's dream of Christmas. Before dawn, a Navy torpedo boat was dispatched to the South Pole with orders to get one Santa Claus with packs and deliver same intact to Miami's Biscayne Bay. That mission is now complete and the PT is being docked. They're turning off the engines now and those kids are rushing towards the stern where Santa is getting off. His traditional bag of toys this year is a regulation Navy sea bag. I'm trying to get through to Santa right now, but with all these kids, that competition's pretty tough.
Well, hello, everybody. Gangway here.
How was that trip by PT boat?
Oh, that was swell, son.
Have a good time.
Yes. Well, what's better than the last one, son?
That's
what's your name?
Now, some of these guys here are looking for these presents. You know, that last trip Santa mentioned just now was really something. He was torpedoed twice within 10 minutes. You see, our Santa disguises himself as Chief Yeoman Will Jewett of the Navy, 364 days of the year, and that last trip was during the African invasion.
Well, what's your name, sonny?
Buddy Price.
Buddy Price, what can I do for you?
I want you to take these presents to them.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That's an order, son. I'll take them over. I'll find your daddies wherever they are.
There's just one more thing, please, sir.
Oh, you're Carolina Moon, aren't you?
Well, in the Navy, the big son takes my children to church.
Well, that's something for our PT skipper, Lieutenant Jack Sills of Leonia, New Jersey, to decide. He's a big shot, gals, and he's a regular hero, a Navy Cross and everything. How about those requests, Lieutenant?
Very well, Santa, but first I'd like to say hello to Mother. Wilson Cade, carry on.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, goodbye, folks. Goodbye from Miami. Good luck.
And now to Robert St. John in New York.
Just picture a penthouse way up in the sky. A sweet slice of heaven for just you and I. But what am I saying? Those are the words of a song of romance. And there's very little in the way of romance in the spot we visit next. Here in Manhattan and in every big city along the coasts of this nation, we've looked out of the windows when the air raid sirens wailed. We've watched the buildings grow gray in the moonlight. We've looked down at the gleaming white helmets of the air raid wardens standing in the silent streets, and with never a thought to the men waiting behind concealed guns for enemy planes overhead. Some of these gun crews are on the ground in camouflaged positions. Many are on rooftops. We don't know where they are now, and maybe we'll never know. But in this Christmas reunion, we visit one of these lonely outposts somewhere on the East Coast. Ben Grauer, suppose you tell us what it's like up there.
Well, if you'll pardon an old saying, Bob, I'm a stranger here myself. But I've had a chance to look around, and I want to tell you right now, however, that this is as strange a military situation as you can imagine. There are some 16 soldiers on top of this building, all members of the Anti-Aircraft Artillery Command of the Eastern Defense Command. They work, eat, sleep, and play on this rooftop. They also wait, and believe me, they wait to fight, as do all the other gun sections in this gun battery and all others wherever they may be. Now, I won't be permitted to identify this particular gun section, but there are certain things I can say with safety. Section X of the Anti-Aircraft Artillery Command of the Eastern Defense Command is commanded by Lieutenant Harold Thomas. Right now, I'm standing in the day room of the barracks on this same rooftop. To my left is the room where the men sleep in double-decker bunks. Almost at my back is the entrance to the washrooms, and to my right is the open kitchen. And now for the business department of this rooftop military encampment. The purpose in life, yes, quite literally the aim of the 16 men who live in this rooftop is the gun, which is located outside and a short distance away on a special platform. Lieutenant Thomas, pick it up from the gun, will you, and tell us what you can about your pride and joy. Over to Thomas.
Okay, Ben.
We're standing right beside our 40-millimeter anti-aircraft gun, which, incidentally, can be operated either manually or by electrical control from a distance. This gun, as is in the case of most other anti-aircraft guns of this type, has a companion piece in a 50-caliber machine gun. Our companion machine gun is mounted on another tower, a short distance from this one and somewhat higher. Now, back to our pride and joy, the 40-millimeter gun. You can't fire it for you for a couple of very important reasons, the most obvious of which is this. To do so would betray the position of the gun, and that's a military secret. So we can give you a rough idea of how quickly things happen after the chief of section, Sergeant Rossi, says,
"Target!
Stay!
Action!
Fire!"
That's approximately how it goes. And from that point on, this gun would be firing explosive shells at an overhead target at the rate of 60 rounds per minute, or one per second. Lieutenant Thomas to Ben Grauer. We're all coming back to the barracks now, Ben. Over to Ben Grauer.
Thanks very much, Lieutenant Thomas. Now, there's a young man standing beside me who had a great deal to do with making Christmas on a rooftop a happy one for the men of this gun section. And I'm going to let him speak for himself. Take over Mess Sergeant Andrew L. Henriksen.
Well, there isn't much to say, except that I prepared Christmas dinner at this gun position today.
Well, it's quite a mouthful, but tell us, mess sergeants don't usually serve as cooks, do they?
No, sir. I jump in and help out when I can.
Good. And when'd you jump in on this particular dinner?
It started last night. You know how it is. The turkey and pies and other things have to be prepared in advance.
You sound right. All mothers who cook today, please take notice. The Army does it the hard way, just like you. But, say, where are you from, Henriksen?
Shelby, Michigan.
Well, would you say that your dinner was as substantial as the kind mother might make out at Shelby?
I'll read the menu, Mr. Grauer.
Okay.
Fruit cup, roast turkey with dressing and gravy, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, buttered peas, corn, tomato and lettuce salad, celery, pickles, hot rolls, pumpkin pie, apples, grapes, candies and nuts, coffee, tea and milk.
Is that all?
That's all.
Well, thank you, Sergeant. Well, the gun crew's just come back here in the barracks with us now, and I'd like to ask Chief of Section Sergeant Rossi a question or two. And by the way, this Sergeant Rossi, with only 2 years in the service, is a soldier's idea of a real soldier. He's got a way about him that gets things done.
Well, that's a little embarrassing, Mr. Garth.
So, and what about your medal for being an outstanding example to comrades in arms?
Couldn't I report on something else?
On what, for instance?
Well, sir, in civilian life, I used to build the planes. I used to help get them up in the air. Now, on this rooftop with the others, I'm waiting to help bring them down.
Very good, Sergeant Rossi. And if they never come, you and your comrades in arms will have done your job. And now, fellows, what about that Christmas dinner just described? Did you enjoy it? is there anything in particular you'd like to say to the world on a worldwide radio network? Yes, Lieutenant Thomas?
Yes, Ben. Permission to fire 8 words at the enemy from the men of my command.
8 words? Very well, Lieutenant Thomas. Fire.
You send them over. Bring them back down.
You are listening to NBC's Christmas Reunion, a program which illustrates our best by way of bringing our men and women of the armed forces home for Christmas. During the past half hour or so, we've been around quite a lot. But ladies and gentlemen, this is only the beginning. Behind us are London and Alaska and Bethlehem and Miami. Ahead of us are Chungking and Guadalcanal, Algiers and Hollywood, and many another place.
Fella too.
That's our next stopping place. As a matter of fact, if you know your theme melodies, you already suspect we're going out there to meet Amos and Andy. As a matter of fact, we are. And a guest of theirs, a famous guest by the name of Jose Iturbe, who will speak for himself just as soon as we've made our station identification.